All right, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's where we were last time. And I remember we stopped around verse 25. All right? Now, please don't forget what was discussed in that previous place. He said, from verse 22, "For indeed Jews ask for the sign and Greeks for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." He said that constitutes a stumbling block to the Jews and to Gentiles. It is foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, what it constitutes is that Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. He said, because even what we call the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and what we appear like weakness, but if it is God that is doing it, gets greater results than the best of the strength of men. In verse 26, that's where we want to start from today. He now said, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise," just an explanation of what he was saying earlier, "according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble." The reason is that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom. Now notice this. Who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now you'll notice something here, which is the emphasis that Paul was trying to lay. And that is the fact that God does not share his glory with another, and he does not like anybody boasting in his presence. Please notice what he quoted from there. Jeremiah made that statement. He said, let him that boasts, boast in the Lord. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast in his strength. With God, what is important is that he is acknowledged as the one that gets results in the life of people. We are going to see that further down. When we were talking about the fact that Paul planted and Apollos watered, but that is God that gives the increase. Now, there's something we must learn from that, that's as believers, and that's what Paul was trying to explain. What God does is that if people think that their own strength is what is getting results, God will bring forth greater results from somebody that has weaker supplies than the one that has, just to prove, like he was saying, that God might shame that which is strong, that God might shame the one that is wise. The important thing with God is that people boast only in the Lord, and they don't boast in their own strength. Now, I want us to look at it from another angle, and that's the fact that if you are one that is not strong, then you are a candidate for the demonstration of the strength of God. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is strength. You know, when Paul was talking about his weakness, because when you are praying sometimes as believers, you must understand the reason why you are praying. What is it that you are concerned about? There's a reason why I'm saying that. When Paul was afflicted, and the reason for his affliction, he said, is because of the greatness of the revelation that had been given to him, the depth of the revelation, and for somebody of his composition, it is obvious that he was going to be proud. Now, you must understand that God is very, very kind. And sometimes what appears like judgment, all right, when people are dealing with God, is actually the kindness of God that he is demonstrating. Because pride goes before a fall. If a man comes out with pride, he will most certainly fall. Do you understand my point? So by reason of the constitution and the level of spiritual development that Paul was in at that time, the depth of revelation and the enormity of the things that he has seen was definitely going to make him proud. Therefore, God allowed what he called the thorn in the flesh. When we get there, I will tell you what the thorn is. It's very simple. There's no argument about it. It is stated clearly what the thorn in the flesh of Paul is. The reason why people argue about it is because they've not ever really settled down to look at it or pray about it, because I prayed about it before I saw it, actually. Now, it's stated clearly there. I will show it to you when we get there. Now, but what was Paul concerned about? Paul will now go and pray. And what was his prayer? That God, take this thing away from me. But God was now telling him that, what are you concerned about? Again, I won't say so much, but so we can discuss it in detail when we get there. What are you concerned about? You are concerned about the results that you will miss out in ministry. And if that is the issue, now if you are concerned about your comfort, God won't, you know, that's an interesting thing. God will not have answered him. Do you follow my point? It's okay, God, you know, with this kind of thing, I cannot get enough results in ministry. He said, fine. This has made you weak. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What it means is that the full demonstration of my power will be seen when the person I'm walking through is not inherently strong himself. When Peter and Co. came out and they were preaching that day, after the story at the gate called Beautiful, remember what happened? They noticed that these people were not learned. Do you understand? That these people were not educated the way you expect somebody who would talk like this to be. But then they now noticed something else, that they had been with Jesus. That is, he had imparted something into them. That is, Jesus took glory because the people that were talking on his behalf were not well-educated people. Now, it's interesting. You notice something again this day. Now, just notice it, all right? You know, over time, what God is laying emphasis on tends to change. You will see that the greatest, take a country like Nigeria, all right? The biggest ministries that have been built, now notice what I want to say, were built by those who are very well-educated. Have you noticed? In Nigeria, generally. Now, I'm not saying God is not laying emphasis on education. No. If anything, he's now decided that, okay, you know what he's trying to do? The people were not educated in Bible matters. That's what I want to come to. You find that Adeboye will be a professor of mathematics of all things, not a professor of Bible. Do you follow my point? Someone like Bishop David Oyedepo, all right? Okay, he's not as well-educated as somebody like Adeboye, but at least he was trained in architecture, not in Bible, all right? W.F. Kumuyi also was a university lecturer, but not in Bible studies. None of them are gurus of theology. Now, you can see the learning again now. It's not just that God hates those who know book. It's just that nobody must boast. So when the ministry was growing, I now saw people who for 7 years they're in seminary, studying the scripture, studying, and you expect that the number of years in seminary will now make them established, all right, as ministers of the gospel. God now said, all right, let me show you another strength. He will now go out and go and look for people who never went to the four walls of a Bible school, and they will come out having the power of God in their tongue, having the power of God demonstrated when they preach. Are you getting my point? That no flesh will glory in his presence. That is, anyone who is going to boast, he said, he must boast in the Lord. Now, this also happened. At that time, you saw a lot of rich people were there, educated people, everything. But you go to the church, you find out that not many, he said in verse 26, consider your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty. Please notice this. He did not say there is none wise and none mighty. You get what I'm saying? Amongst them, there were rich people. Amongst them, there were educated people. Amongst them, there were mighty people. But they just were not plenty. Which means that God didn't choose the people who will be his according to their natural qualifications. But that just as a rich man can be proud, so a poor man can be proud in the same manner. You understand what I'm going to say? That is, a strong man and a mighty man also may also have the quality in which he is poor in spirit, in that he's not boasting in that which he has, but he has learned to put his boast in God. But this is the point. At the end of the day, what God wants to do is that he might nullify the things that are, he said in verse 28, that no man should boast before the Lord. Now, let's just continue. Don't forget, when the Bible was written, Paul didn't write 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then chapter 2 and chapter 3. He just was writing. The breakdown is for ease of reference. So, in still continuing what he was saying here, in verse 1, he now said, and when I came to you, still proving the point that God will nullify the things that are highly esteemed in the eyes of men. He said, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, that is human wisdom. He was talking amongst those who had a lot of Greek wisdom flowing around that time, maybe. He said, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, that my way of proclaiming it was not in superiority of speech or of wisdom, according to the learnings of that time. Are you getting me? He said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Now, again, this is still a continuation of what we read in the last part of chapter 1. Paul said to walk according to God's wisdom here. When I came preaching, it was not with a well-prepared message which satisfied all the principles of wisdom as taught by the Greeks. But that what did I do? I came with simplicity. Are you getting me? And in that, I just preached Christ and Him crucified. That all Paul did was just talk about the fact that there was a man called Jesus, all right? And that one day, He was crucified. Earlier on, he said that was a stumbling block to the Jews, and then to Gentiles, that was foolishness. It's that his preaching was just to emphasize that foolishness, so that you will find that people will be converted. I told you that I meditated about faith, and I realized that God can stimulate the heart of people to believe. Let me say that again. I tried not to digress too much from the main call, but I just have to, so that you can get exactly what Paul was saying. God makes the heart of people believe. God can harden the heart of people. Do you understand what I mean? Remember my best example these days, the widow of Zarephath. Why on earth did she believe Elijah when he said, bring your last meal? The summary of it, you know, I've given different explanations, but the summary of it is that God knew how to make the heart of somebody believe. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, a man will preach. It was here I was telling the story of Paul Ginodo. Okay, Paul Ginodo was a preacher in Ibadan. I have not heard much about him in a very long time. He was born into a Muslim family. Now, because of the rivalry in his family, his mother, that's a polygamous setting, his mother decided to send him abroad to go to school. That was abroad, in London or somewhere in UK anyway. Now, being a Muslim, he's supposed to pray 5 times a day. Is that okay? And they taught him to pray 5 times a day. It's from Ibadan, your state. Now, when he got to England, of course he didn't pray 5 times a day. He probably prayed once or twice. And according to him, when I read his testimony, the law is that if you were supposed to pray 5 times a day today, I did not pray 5 times a day. Tomorrow you pray 10 times. To cover for 5. Anyone you miss, you must pray it. That's the summary. So whatever it is, you must pray your prayer. This man was in England for years and he was not praying. So you can imagine the amount of busy of prayer that was on his head. So one day somebody invited him, a Christian invited him for a crusade. And the man was talking, he did not know what the person was saying. But along the line, the man began to pray. And right before his eyes, one man who was crippled completely beside him, he heard the man's bones begin to snap. And the man's leg straightened and he began to walk. He screamed, that is. He, Paul Ginodo, screamed. Let me cut the long story short. That was to him the demon. What the man said didn't have to make sense anymore. Do you get my point? Let me just end the story of Paul Ginodo before I tell you another story. And so, he said after that, why did he become a Christian? He didn't think there's anything wrong with Islam. Islam is okay. Christianity has now been proven to also be okay. Do you get my point? He now said, okay, this man preaching said, just believe and all your sins are forgiven. So he did arithmetic. 365 days times 5 prayers a day times 2 years that he has not prayed. No, imagine that kind of number. He came out with one large, you know, 5 times 2 is 10, right? So just do it. That's about, he was owing about 3,600 and something prayers. So he said, well, since Jesus Christ said, I will forgive you of the prayers you have not prayed, then let me just follow him, since this guy is queer. This guy is faster. Now, you can't even make it. So the man said, okay, very fine. That was how he became a Christian. Not because he taught Islam, there was anything wrong with Islam. But since he was owing Muhammad so much in prayer, and Jesus said, I will forgive. It reminds me of the story of Ezulu, one of these African writers' books. How many of you know the one I'm talking about? In which the white man locked Ezulu up. That was the native DB around that used to eat the yam, then declare when the new yam will come. It's the arrow of God. So, when the man was in detention for 2 months, the yam for those months were not eaten. So when he came back, instead of him to declare harvest season, he said it's according to the number of yams he had eaten. So the 12 yams were not yet complete. So they said, but harvest season has come. The guy said, the yam that he's supposed to eat is still there. You know, he was in detention for a while. You're getting the point. So the man decided, okay, you will wait until I declare harvest season. Meanwhile, the neighboring, I think a reverend father decided that, all right, bring your first harvest of yam to church if Ezulu will not collect it, and this God will bless your harvest. All the guys waiting for Ezulu didn't declare harvest season. Now they carry the yam, go church. Since, do you get the point? The other God said, it doesn't matter. I can pronounce blessing because the man is supposed to declare harvest season. Then New Year, everybody can now go and go harvest it. Now, yam will start rotting if you don't harvest it. You follow the point? And the man said they have to wait for him to finish eating the yam. And meanwhile, that means 2 months away. You want to ruin the whole harvest. And the Reverend Father said, there's no problem with that. Just bring the yam here. In fact, the man said he's not taking only one yam, he's taking two. You people gladly carry yam to church. Say, look, Father, just bless this one. We don't care about your God, though, how you serve him. But since you said that, he can also bless the yam season. That was the principle that Paul Ginodu used. Now, let me just sit on that. The point I want to make is that, how did the man believe? It was not because of the persuasive words that the man was speaking up there, but because of the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Are you getting my point? There's that story I said I wanted to mention. I read in a book some time ago. A man went to preach in, I think it was an Islamic country. And of course, everybody gathered more out of curiosity than anything else. What are you saying? Do you understand? Then suddenly, one man nearby, all right? He suddenly shouted. I forgot what happened to him, but amongst the thing that happened was that a man walked up to him in the crowd and showed him his hands. And he looked at him. He just realized this was the person that this pastor was describing. Do you get my point? The Lord just appeared to the man in the vision. And the man saw him live, saw his hands, saw his feet, saw his side that was pierced, and realized that this man is not lying. What was Paul explaining? That I'm not coming here to persuade you to believe, you know, by the excellency of words, by arguments on, you know, I was watching National Geographic. Don't worry, mind me. I like the things I watch is things like that and news, all right? And they're talking about 500,000 years ago when nature made... I was alone as I laughing. How can nobody make something? Are you out of your mind? Nobody just made, you know? And I was reading one philosophical statement. I've forgotten who made it. And okay, it was an advert. They said, nothing perfect occurs by accident. I wanted to copy it and send to others who believe in evolution. That nothing, in fact, is said, scientists know it. All laws of science are broken when you are considering evolution. Let me see what I'm trying to say. Science knows that things don't improve by chance. The only time they break that rule is in evolution. Things never improve by chance. They are always made to improve. Chance only destroys things. That is established. It's called the law of entropy. Things, random motion, that's the only, it wrecks things. That's why, you know, that's what they call, don't let me go into genetics, I beg. Because you find out that when you leave things to chance, they get worse. They always get worse. Anyway, let me just give you the genetics. That's why you are not allowed to marry a close relative. It's a really, forget the laws of the spirit. There's a physical law for it. If you breed animals, you know, maybe you like to breed dogs. You have a dog, all right? You buy a female and a male. They mate, they produce offspring. One of the things you learn, if you're an animal breeder, you don't let the offsprings mate with their parents. You know, they will grow. Animals don't know the difference. You now find that the dog will be mating with the females, you know? You know, they are his daughters. Do you understand? Now, it's not a moral issue with dog. A dog is a dog. Do you get my point? A goat is a goat. It's not a moral issue. The problem is that if you allow that to go on, after some time, the puppies will start dying. Do you understand? Yes, it's called inbreeding. We call it inbreeding in genetics. Inbreeding. Once you continue inbreeding, do you know the certain part? The animals don't get better. They get worse. Because what accumulates is not their strength, but their errors. Because this generation, there will be genetic errors. And one of the ways you maintain the life of the species is to ensure that the errors are diluted in the bigger populace. So you take the females, you go and mix them with other males from another group entirely, so that they don't accumulate their genetic errors. If you leave them there, they call it inbreeding. After a while, the animals start getting weaker and weaker. Each subsequent generation starts getting weaker. One day they deliver puppies, all of them will have one genetic defect that's severe enough to kill them. That is, nothing, you know, good happens by chance. Now, why did I even digress into that? Talking about arguing. Now, if you want to preach, that's what Paul was saying. I don't have to speak all these big genetics to explain to somebody that evolution did not happen. He said, when I want to preach, it's not praise God. Today I want to show you that there's a stupidity in evolution. And I begin to argue with the people who don't believe. No. I will come out and read from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God, whether you like it or not, created the heavens and the earth. He said, but I don't believe in God. I said, okay, let me prove to you there is God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, God, and the man gets angry that this is foolishness. He said, very good. But once I start declaring in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, then the power of God will begin to flow. Do you get my point? Suddenly, as I'm telling the man, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, my eyes will just open. I said, that was why you did not believe it 5 years ago. And this happened. Suddenly, a word of knowledge comes to me. The man realized that this man is not speaking out of natural wisdom. There is something he knows I don't know. I begin to tell him things that nobody knows about himself apart from him. How did I know? Because what has God done? God has just demonstrated to him by manifestation of the Spirit and of power that I, God, really exist. It's not intellectual knowledge. Do you understand what I'm going to say? And that's what Paul was explaining, that my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. No, I didn't have to persuade. Let me tell you something about me as a preacher. I have learned is that you'll see that later on. When it comes to, when we're discussing like this, maybe on Saturday, I'll read that in a moment. You find out what we teach is what the Bible calls the wisdom of God. Do you understand? But if I go somewhere and the predominant amount of people there, like when we're on radio, that's why I say that I've not been able to mix radio and our normal meetings here. It's been difficult. Because when we're talking on radio, we declare. You understand my point? You just say things. You don't have to have good explanation for them, really. There's a different realm. You say things, what the Bible calls the sincere milk of the word. Sincere milk, things that everybody can hear and comprehend. And you just declare, there are times I say things and I say boldly now. I'm not ready to argue with anybody. I will tell you that, listen, if you are doing this, I am telling you, if you continue in the next 15 years, you'll be poor and begging for bread. Now, there's no argument. You get what I'm trying to say? Now, somebody will say, I will prove him wrong. Anyone who determines to prove me wrong has proven first that he heard me. Do you understand what I'm raising? And for that reason, there is a power of judgment that will start following him around until exactly in 15 years' time, his death broke and he's perfectly disgusted and frustrated with life. Why? To prove the man who spoke right. Let me tell you the truth, though. God confirms the word of his servant. There are people that they would have done well if they didn't tune in for the way of success. That is, they would have been manageable. But they tuned in. I like what the Bishop Oedipo used to say. He said, no word from God leaves you the same. He said, every word either lifts you up or it brings you down. Do you understand my point? If you believe and obey, you are lifted. If you reject and disobey, you are brought down. It doesn't leave you the same way it met you. What am I trying to explain? That's called the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So I have discovered as a preacher, that's when I go to minister, sometimes the only people will give you one fantastic topic. You know, emancipation of the Spirit for the regeneration of no one. I'm never intimidated. I don't even read your topic. Okay, you want me to come and preach? All right. If I don't know what to say, I just get there. God is a good God. I have come to understand that with God, nothing shall be impossible. The same message you have heard before. Yes, it's called foolishness of preaching. Listen, no, your life will change. That is, it's not possible I'll go in there and I'll come and people's lives will not be transformed. Because it's not wisdom. We're not discussing, do you get my point? We're not discussing how to, 10 steps, no, one step after. No. We are just talking, you know. Listen, this is how it works. Once the word goes out, it is backed with power. Are you getting my point? You know, I told you before now, sometimes I just sit down and I rejoice. You know why I rejoice? I'm serious. What I'm doing is I'm very serious. I know very important people. I'm very, very connected. I am sure of that. Okay, you know the governor? No. That's not the problem. I just look around me at those who take... No, I'm not trying to make you feel happy. I am telling you this because I believe it. Ask my wife. She knows I want to live long. So one of the things I don't do, I don't flatter people. I don't preach to make anybody happy. In Jesus' name, may I never preach just to make people happy. No, really. I say things that I believe. If I say something and I discover that I didn't fully believe it, and I go back and I heard myself say it, I immediately repent before God. And I will use style to unsay it next time. There's nothing I say I don't believe. Are you getting my point? What do I mean by I'm connected? I say, I see people who take time out to hear, because when God wants to bless people, he sends a word. Are you getting my point? And I know the word in my mouth was sent by God. I know what I'm saying. Do you follow what I'm saying? And then, because of that, I know there is a power that he wants to release. And it's always activated in the lives of those that believe it. And the things that I have been saying, all the things I've been saying are designed by God to bring forth bright destinies in the lives of people. Are you getting me? So I think about those who have been listening to me, and I know I'm connected. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes, no, that's what I mean when I say I'm connected. Because it is not possible for these words to enter your life. Listen, the man who wanted to fail made the mistake when he started listening to Pastor Banky. I don't know whether you heard me. That was the day failure lost out in his life. Now, I'm not talking about, I've learned all the methods. I don't teach any methods. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I have heard, once you have heard, you have eaten a spirit. Do you understand my point? And in Jesus' name, it will most certainly one day manifest. Amen. Yes, I know what I'm saying. That's what we're talking about. Paul said, I'm not talking about persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the spirit and of power. There is a story I will tell you again, which somebody shared with me, which I went to the Bible study I used to go for those days when we were very young, and this man preached it, the man who used to go to the Bible study in his house, a powerful man of God. He said they had a convention once, and one old woman, a farmer in her village, somewhere in the Kiti State, they used to farm rice, you know, that's what they are, the main crop in that area. She gave her life to Christ, and she came for the convention. And along the line, she heard that the name of Jesus is above every other name. And in the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, and the name of Jesus does everything. The woman couldn't read, could not write, but she could understand that expression. And she went home terrorizing everybody with the name of Jesus. Now, what I mean is that, to give a typical example, you've heard of weaver birds, you know, birds that they destroy crops, you know, rice particularly. So one of the things, I lived near an agri plantation. Well, Ministry of Agri had one big experimental field near our house where I grew up, just across the road. And I remember that they used to, you know, like, you know, IIT kind of thing. It's an experimental field. So they do things, different stuff. Now, there's a particular year they were planting rice, all right? And they used scarecrows. Scarecrows worked for a few days until the birds realized that these things are actually dead. They are not alive. Then they got this automatic firing, like a gun that fires automatically every few minutes. The explosion drives the birds. That works for a few days. All right? After that, the birds learned that that thing is just noise, nothing kill. They returned. They had to hire little children who carry their cans and sticks and run into the field and be making noise. And of course, the birds would disappear. That was how they were able to, you know, sustain their harvest. Now, I just want to know the kind of problems that it could be. Now, in this woman's village, such problems come, and then we know what people will do. They will contribute money, and they will go to the Babalawo, or the DBA of the environment, and the man will do some tick upball for them, that when they plant the jars all over the place, the birds will see the spirits, hopefully, and the spirits will drive away the birds. So they came and met that woman and said, look, this is what we are doing. We are contributing money. These birds are a problem. They are destroying our crops. And we have to take care of them. So we're contributing money to do this. Ah. The woman said, have you not heard that it's the name of Jesus that does everything? Madam, I beg, let us hear what. Bring your money. He said, no, she's not contributing. No, she's not contributing. That they should all hear that she has been taught that the name of Jesus does everything. Therefore, all the birds will not go near her field in the name of Jesus. And that was it. That's as far as she was concerned, and she left it. Her neighbors testified. With all the jazz they did, let's assume her plot is number C out of A, B, C, D, E. The birds will feed on A, go to B, fly over C, go to D, and continue to feed and go to E. Go back, fly over C, that they never once perched on her plantation. And the woman said that they said it is the name of Jesus that does everything. That was all she understood. Very simple. And that's how she went around terrorizing the devil. I think either her daughter had a problem with her delivery or something, that they said the baby is not coming out or something, or this and that. The woman said, that's a small thing now.
that have they not heard there is the name of Jesus that delivers children? That you should just relax that in the name of Jesus, the girl will deliver. What is it? And of course, they will go back and the girl will deliver. And the woman said, there's no problem. That the name of Jesus solves every problem. Are you getting the point? I mean, somebody told me a story about some missionaries who went to preach somewhere. And they didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in miracles. They went to some New Testament. And they taught the people how to read. And whatever it is, they left some material with the people and they had to leave. There was a problem, they had to leave. And unfortunately for them, they left before their Bible studies had reached the place talking about miracles and for them to explain that the days of miracles are past. So before they could explain to the people that the days of miracles are past, they had gone. So the people read the rest themselves. Do you understand the point? And discovered that Jesus said that all the commands that Jesus will give, heal the sick, raise the dead, you know, all those kind of things, they will read it and say, is that so? So they went everywhere, healing the sick and raising the dead and none of that. Then the missionaries now came back to come and complete the story to say, look, don't be disappointed if those things don't happen because the days of miracles are past. He said, what are you talking about? Since you left, we've been healing the sick. Because we read this simply. According to Charles Cabs, there was nobody to help them misunderstand it. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? That's what Paul was saying, that what am I doing? I'm doing this so that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. I told you something. That's a person. That's something I've learned. Like I was thinking the other day, when we get to worry, what are we going to teach in the short time that we have? Those things don't give me headache again. The only reason why I think about it now, is that we'll just concoct one title, just so that it won't be like we don't have a title. Believe me, it's the day before the program, I just scratch my head and say, wait till we go preach, self. You know, it's not that, okay, let's concentrate as much as possible for those few hours. No, I can get there, believe me, and I'll tell stories. Say, brethren, you know God is good. This country is a good country. That's telling you stories. By the time I finish, like they say, walaita lai, every life that entered that place will be changed. Look, I just go there, teach very simply, and walk out. It's a demonstration of the spirit and of power. See, I'm talking as a preacher. I want you to understand something, that in every part of life, okay, that's how it works. You will discover that there is a power of God that is released when you just do simple things in obedience to the principles of God. Do you understand my point? All right, we'll get down to that later again. Now, having explained all of this, Paul now said, before I read the next line, sometimes people say that I like gospel that's very, very simple, no difficulty to it. That is true. The power is in it. But I was talking to a friend once. I said, it's true. I said, but there are deep things of God. Now, having said all of these things, but there are still the deep things of what? Of God. Paul said in verse 6, yet we do speak wisdom. There are things of wisdom to speak, he was saying, but we speak those things only amongst those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not the type you learn in this world, that is not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Just as it is written, the things which eyes have not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, before I read further, let me just say something here about the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man. Remember the whole story, Genesis 2 and 3, where God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he placed in there the man that he had created, and then, of course, his wife. And he told them, don't eat of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember that. Now, Satan came and said, God doesn't want you to be wise. If you eat of this, you will become wise. Now, if you see later, God actually acknowledged that man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, if we're here, then we studied what that meant. And I explained that what he was saying is simple. That man has now become a judge. And if you are a judge, you will need evidence. You need things with which to judge. And so he will use his experiences. and the scientific demonstrations that he has been able to put together to decide that which is right and that which is wrong. Are you getting the principle? Now, that's what is called the wisdom of man. That is, experience teaches you something. You will walk and walk and say that we find that this one does not work. And then we walk and walk and we find that this one doesn't work. Okay, this is one that works. You know, we work hard. It's too much, you know, labor. We discover one or two truths. All right? We now put everything together, and that is the wisdom of man. Now, there is the wisdom of God, however. Let me tell you what the wisdom of God is. It is simply what God has proposed to do. That which God has proposed to do, which he had recorded, you know, when he was like predestination, the will of God, the wisdom of God, everything at the end of the day, they come to the same point. That God wanted to do something and he wrote things down. That is, he has an order, all right, which he opens. These things are written in books in heaven and they are closed or they are sealed. And then anybody who is worthy is allowed to open the book and look into what God had plans to do. Are you getting my point? If you go and read Revelations, you will see that after the Lamb was found that he was worthy, and he opened the seals, and they began to expose the contents of the book, what did we find? Judgment. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. Suddenly you find demonstrations. The first plague will appear. Now, these are the things that were sealed. The things that God was going to do, they are sealed. Now, I'm bringing out something here. Paul was now saying that there is two kinds of wisdom I've explained, but that we have come to understand the wisdom of God. That the wisdom of God is something that people can know. And now, when I'm talking about know now, it's not about methods now, no. It's simply about what? The plan, the purpose. That's what the wisdom of God is. That this is the thing that God is going to do in my life. That's God's wisdom. I remember those days when we read from people like Kenneth Hagin and co, and they'll be talking about the manifestation of the Spirit from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They talk about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. The emphasis they always laid, then I read it, I believed it, I didn't understand it anyway, was that wisdom has to do with things to come. Now I have come to understand that as a matter of fact, wisdom has to do with the things that God recorded that people have not yet seen. That's why he said, if the rulers of this age had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, there's something about it. Because part of what God did was that his plan for people's lives, okay, they were sealed, but they will become effective only when the blood of Jesus or the blood of the sacrificial lamb had been shed for their sins. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, remember what I said, that you go to Revelations, you read about the books that are opened, and you see that judgment began to come upon the world as a result of the opening of those books. Do you follow? That is, the destruction of this current age, the destruction of the age in which Satan had influence and the devil had power, all right, was initiated when Jesus shed his blood. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, there is nobody, the Bible says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. That's what he meant when he said, if they had known, they would not have started the manifestation of the wisdom of God. Because the beginning of the manifestation of God's plan is what? The death of Jesus Christ. Do you get the point I'm making? No, okay. We're beginning to speak the wisdom of God now. People are getting confused. Now, please, you know, the first thing I said were simple declarations you speak and is followed by the power of God. But there are things to be understood. Please, get what I'm saying. And Paul said, look, we are not saying there are no deep things. So he says, just that we speak them only amongst those who are of age. That is, there are things about God to understand which an average person doesn't grasp. Anyway, I will explain it further. Let's just continue. Now, he said, how do we understand it? He said, but to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths or the deep things of God. Please don't forget that there are deep things of God. It is not everything about Christianity that is simple for everybody to understand. No, you'll see something in a moment when we get down to chapter 3. He said, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man and all of that? He was trying to explain the fact that it was necessary for the Spirit to explain it. Go down to verse 14. No, verse 13 says, he said, these things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. The word I'm reading now is New American Standard. It says, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Literally, just say combining spiritual with spiritual. All right? But trying to convey the thought, different people have used different words. Let me see the way Amplify even says it. That's verse 13. Yes, good. Verse 13, Amplified Bible. He said, and we are setting this truth forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. What he was saying is that conveying spiritual truth by spiritual means. That's the point he was making. Like I said, in chapter 3, I will still come back and explain this. Now, this is what I wanted to note, verse 14. But the natural, I need to explain that word. He said, natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Now, please, I'll get back to this. Let me just jump down to chapter 3. There's a reason. I want to define some words. In verse 1, it says, but and I, brethren, don't forget what he said, a natural man cannot understand the deep things of God. He said, therefore, I, brethren, in verse 1 of chapter 3, could not speak to you as to spiritual men. That is, men who can understand the deep things of God. He said, but I spoke to you as men of flesh. New Americans now that use the word. King James used the word carnal. Now, the meaning of the word carnal is what I want to explain. I just want to read through it. He said, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able. How do I know that? Because you are still fleshly, which is proved by the fact that you are walking like mere men. How is that demonstrated? That there's still division amongst you. Some say I'm of Paul, another Apollos, and then, you know, some say I'm of Christ, like we said earlier. And I said, what then is Apollos? Please, I'll come back to this. Let me just explain the difference between spiritual man, a natural man, and a carnal man. First, let's talk about a spiritual man and a carnal man. If you read the last part of verse 15, Paul said, however, we have the mind of Christ. And when he's talking about we, you can ask yourself, who is he talking about? There are two ways to answer it. Number one, he's talking about every Christian. That is actually correct and potentially true. Or it could be that Paul is talking about we who are able to understand the deep things of the Spirit, that we have the mind of Christ. Whichever one, at the end of the day, you see, it comes to the same thing. But this is the issue. Who is a spiritual man? No, let's start with a natural man. It's easier to understand that. A natural man is a person who is a natural person. You know what I mean by that? That is, an average person on the road is what you call a natural man. You remember what we said? There are how many senses that we use? Six, right? Five physical and one spiritual. When you're talking about senses, you see, you smell, you hear, you taste, and you feel. How many do we have there? Five, all right? And there is a sixth one. Now, which, please, let me try to understand. The Englishman says the sixth sense. That is things you know without feeling, hearing, seeing, touching, smelling, or tasting. But you know them all the same. And now this is a matter of fact. You know, in fact, this happens with my wife and I a lot. She will say something, and I will say the same thing at the same time. Other times, she will say something, and I will say, how did you know that was what I was going to say? I don't know whether you get my point. It's not coincidence. It happens too frequently to be coincidence. It's just that you are thinking, you know, I've explained that one to you before. You can communicate by spirit. Ed Cole said, there are three ways by which you communicate. He said, you communicate by word, by gesture, and by spirit. What do you mean by word? You know what I mean if I said come. And that is a word. I'm communicating by word. But I can also make you come by just doing this. Do you get my point? That's a gesture. I just moved my hand towards me. And, I mean, everybody learns that. You know, yesterday, my son entered the room and said, where is mom? I just did like this. And just by turning my head, instantly he knew. I said, mom is in the bathroom. You know, I just the movement was, I mean, less than 2 millimeters. I just did like this. And he just went to the door of the bathroom and gave the message he wanted to give. Now, that's gesture. We all learn it. Ed Cole said these are the three ways by which you communicate. Word, gesture. The third one, he said, is spirit. All right? And the interesting thing about spirit is that it actually is so real. And the more you communicate with somebody, the sharper you are, all right, in communicating with the person in spirit. I don't know whether what I'm saying is making sense to you. I remember the story I told you. Ed Cole was the one that opened my eyes to a lot of those things. That, you know, when I say this, it sounds like a joke. It sounds like a joke. If somebody thinks about you all the time, you know, let's assume that you work somewhere and there is a young woman in your office that really, she just likes you. You know, you can't explain it. No, it really helps. Sometimes, this is a matter of fact. What I'm saying, not a joke, okay? Before you even talk with the person, you can just be at home. You want to sing. The person's name just comes to your mind. I'm not joking about it. Why am I always thinking about the person? Let me tell you the simple truth. The person is thinking about you. That is why. It's like me calling your name. You follow my point? Outwardly, I can call your name and you hear my voice. In the spirit also, if I shout loud enough, you will perceive that I'm calling you. Are you getting my point? Has it not happened to you before? Somebody who you know very well. All right? You just remember, how's this guy? And your phone rings and he's the one. That is, you just thought about him and the phone rang. Take it from me. What happened was that, as he said, let me call Chike. In the spirit, you heard him call Chike. So you remembered him and the phone rang. No, it really happens, all right? Now, just talking about spirit. The spirit of a man, the Bible says, is a candle of the Lord. Now, God uses the spirit of a man. If you develop your spirit, actually, believe me, what people don't understand, they want to sit down and have their spirit talk to them. It can happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But most of the time, it just moves. If you realize how the thing is pervasive in your heart, that is how it's everywhere, it's easier for you to cooperate. It's not as if you have to stay and wait for a voice from your heart. Those voices, let's not discuss it now. It will carry us a bit too far. But the point is that you just thought about somebody you didn't think was a voice, but it's your spirit that heard the man calling you in the realm of the spirit. Now, so God leads us like that, actually. Sometimes you just say, I've not passed this place for a long time. You just turned and said to go and pass the place. You were supposed to pass this other road. You decided to pass this one. Now, why did you pass there that day? Because God had ordained for you to meet somebody. Do you understand? And the person is standing on that road. And the angel of God or the spirit of God now says, so you move towards this road. And then, of course, it won't come as a commandment in your heart. Move towards this road. You just say, now I don't think when I pass this side, that's what comes to your mind. Meanwhile, what God is saying is that though this one is shorter, I want you to pass through here because there's somebody I want you to meet. And again, please bear this in mind. You are not the only one that God wants to bless. All those leadings are not always leading for you to go and get something. Sometimes leading for you to go and give something. Somebody may be in distress and your passing there is what will solve his problem. You may just be driving by and you didn't think about it and maybe you never thought about it till now and you saw one woman standing beside her car. And she's lost thoroughly. The car has stopped. She doesn't know what is going on. And you just say, look at this woman. She's stranded. You stop. Mother, any problem? He said, this car just stopped. He said, let me see. He said, your battery head is loose. And you go there. You tighten it for her. You shut the bonnet. She starts the car. And the car drives off. And you continue. And you never remember this thing until I said it. The reason being that God wanted to bless that woman. And she looked around and said, who here will I use? Okay, Chicken normally drives through here. Let him drive through here. Fix her battery for her before he goes about his business. Do you understand my point? There's one book that my wife is reading now, From Witchcraft to Christ. That book, I told her that these are the things that helped me learn about the realm of the spirits. It's not a teaching book, it's just a testimony. Books like that, I Dare to Call Him Father, The Gentle Breeze of Jesus, God's Smuggler, little books. Okay, so they help us a lot. I read a story about the man who he was going. And his car suddenly stopped. It was somewhere in the United States. And his car stopped near a gas station. All right? A filling station. And he just managed to turn the car into the station and stopped to find out what's wrong with the car. Let me just cut the long story short. As soon as he stopped thinking, what could be wrong with this car? He saw a woman that appeared like she was in distress. And he walked up to her. Is there any problem? And, after small persuading, she spoke and told how she had to go. She was alone. Her husband had left her and she had to go. Her parents told her to come, all right, bring her kids, come and stay with them while she tries to find her feet back in life. All the money she had was what she was looking at. It was not enough to buy fuel to carry herself and her children down to the... You know, when Americans travel, they travel. That's not my point. Uh-huh. My brother-in-law told me when he left New York to go to Houston, he drove for 2 days. That is constant driving. Just sleep at night, get somewhere, eat, rest in the car, drive 2 days. Now, you understand the flight between Houston and New York is 3.5 hours. So, if you had to drive it, you get... No, here to Lagos is 50 minutes. You understand what I'm saying? So, you can imagine, he had cause for distress. It's not... So, that guy just looked at it, and of course, he brought out his credit card, filled her tank for her completely, took her into the shop, bought food for the kids who were obviously hungry the way they devoured the food when he brought it out. At the end of the day, the woman asked him, are you an angel? He said, well, actually, it's Christmas season. Angels are very busy, so God had to use normal human beings like us. That the angels are very busy. And then, of course, the woman drove off. And he said he thought to himself, interesting, that he was so sure that he put his key back into his car. And he knew for certain the car would start. And of course, he turned the thing started one hand, and he drove away. And he knew it was just God had just stopped him there to help that woman. After that, he went on his way. Now, I like stories like that. It reminds you that spiritual things are really, really real. Is that okay? And let me just give you confidence. So don't be afraid. Things, terror that fly by day. You are marked. Nothing happens in life by accident. Get my point? You are marked. Before destruction started, he said, let the angels go out and go and mark, put a mark on the forehead of everyone who's been sighing and groaning because of the iniquity in this land. Anyone that you find the mark, God commanded, no angel of death must touch. Once you find the mark, do you get my point? Nothing happens by accident in life. No calamity. There's no random redistribution. Each person has a mark upon his head before they start. Please get that point very clear. The realm of the spirit, it's a very, very real thing. These things, they happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. So have confidence when you are walking that your life is not a chance life. Do you get my point? The time you will travel, a friend of mine told me once, he was supposed to leave from, I think, Maiduguri, you know, somewhere in the north. Before he set out, he entered his car. He was about to set out. His mind was just so uneasy. The journey didn't feel good. After struggling for a while, he parked the car and said, I'm not traveling again. Next day, he read in the news, all these stupid foreigners that come to invade Nigeria and just kill people and raid. On that road that day, they killed multitudes, raided cars. Are you getting my point? That was the road he was going to travel. Before he set out, his spirit was just disturbed. The same young man said, last time this crash that crashed in Port Harcourt, that led from Abuja to Port Harcourt, he and his men, they were in Abuja for a training. He said, so that evening, just all these boys that came from Port Harcourt, all of you, oh yeah, on the plane, home now. You know, and Oga has given instruction, all of them had to leave. The next flight after that one those boys took was the one that crashed. If he had not ordered them to go, do you get my point? Many of them would have been on that flight the next morning. Do you get my point? Listen to me. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by chance. Read this scripture every day. It said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. You get what I'm saying? He said, the angel of the Lord surround them that fear him and deliver them. As the mountains are about Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. Elisha looked at the servant. He said, those who are with us are more than those who are against us. Do you follow my point? One of my friends, he was junior to me, was a house outside my department. He told me a story of one day, one night, he and his sister were coming from church. Those days when Lagos was very terrible. They came back from a program in church late at night. And as they just got to their door, somewhere in Maran Antony, they just drove up to their gate and horned. They didn't know that boys were around. The boys just walked up to them, all right, brought out their guns. He said, the sister wanted to share, just told her, don't worry, it's okay. Just after he said it, next thing they heard was police siren, and the boys got up and disappeared. And the siren too disappeared. Now, who blew siren? Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I heard another story, authentic gist, of a woman who God wanted to deliver one morning. She came out of her house, a Catholic. She was going to early morning mass. And so she came out of the house very early in Surulere in Lagos. All right? And as soon as she came out, she didn't know thieves were hanging around. So, of course, they just walked up to her car. And they just saw two men appear wearing white suits. He said one was very tall and slim. The other one was short and thick. You know, they just walked up to her. The thief saw the two men and ran for their lives. And one of them just went, opened the gate, either for her to drive out properly or go back in. You understand? And the other one stood by her car. And when they were sure she was safe, she turned to tell them thank you, and they were gone. Listen, let me tell you stories to encourage your faith. My same friend I was telling you about, that one day he wanted to travel in the north, and then his spirit was just restrained, and he couldn't travel. He said, one day, last time he came to my office in Enugu, he said, one day, then he was fasting and he was very weak. He was driving a long distance and his official car had a flat tire. If you are traveling to the north, you know, if you are going from here to Onitsha, from here you go reach 9th mile. After 9th mile, Oji River. After Rejiva, you reach Oka. After Oka, you get to Amombe. After, you just be getting to, you don't even know when you leave human beings and you enter bush. You just people everywhere in the north. Oh boy. When you leave Guzo, maybe the next place you are going is Funtua. Oh boy, 300 kilometers now would they talk. After that, they will tell you, it's Sokoto, that is, look, it's, if you read the Bible of wilderness, that's what is called wilderness. So. No, I'm telling you, your motor breakdown, just put a tent. It is good for us to make a tadabanaku here. Just build the tent. Anyway, one of those days, he said his car broke down. Like that day, he had a flat tire. He was weak and tired. He came out, he looked at the car. As he was standing there in his weakened state, staring at it, one Aboki man, just one of these shepherds, full and headsman, just came out and said, ah, okay, your tire is flat. You know, spoke in Pidgin English. To him, it was shocking. This was deep in the north. The man is speaking, no, if you've lived there, that man probably wouldn't even speak Hausa. When I stayed in Taraba State, a lot of the people I dealt with did not even, they spoke only Fufude. That's Fulani language. The man spoke English. Two of them, just said, ah, no problem now. They told him to just stand back. Listen, they knew how to jack a car. They jacked the car out, changed his tires. Do you understand my point? Did everything and told him it is done. And he told them thank you. He entered his car. He said he remembered he had these crisp Naira notes. So he took one of them. Let's assume then it was like 20 Naira and gave it to the man. And the man took it. Next thing he looked, they had gone back into the wilderness of empty land. And he didn't see them again. He didn't think anything of it until he packed and saw his 20 Naira back on his seat. He said he was that is. He told him that day, that was the first time he was repeating the story to anybody. It was frightening. For him, it was shocking. These guys came out of nowhere. He didn't see them. Next thing, just somebody was talking to him. Oh, just on the, ah, okay, let's. They made him stand back while they changed the tire, two of them. They finished and they walked away. He gave them money. Next thing he looked, he didn't see where they walked into. But when he parked where he was going next, he looked and the money he gave that man, he swore that it was not a mistake. He explained to me why he was sure he wasn't imagining things. That maybe like the notes were two. He gave the man one. One was still in his pocket and the other one was just there on the seat through the window in which he gave a man money. Listen, you are not alone. That was what Elisha looked and told his boy. Why are you worried? The people who are with us, all right, are more than those who are against us. That's why Israel used to pray. They used to pray, God, don't give us over to the hands of our enemies. That is, they know that it's not a matter of chance. God has to package us and deliver us. Do you get my point? That's why David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You know why it's important I talk like this? Because fear. When Jesus told Peter, come, was Peter able to come? Yes. But fearing, he sank. Are you getting my point? Therefore, it is important that we hear things like this so that we will not be afraid. Are you following my point? I will not be afraid. It's an important confession. You wake up in the morning and say, I will not be afraid. When you hear stories, some people traveled at night. Amrabah just killed everybody. Say, I will not be afraid. Because what Satan tries to do, all right, with all that talk, is to plant fear inside your heart. You yourself, you know your reaction when you finish hearing stories. You know, suddenly, like, those are the times you must rehearse testimonies. Say, Lord, I will not be afraid. And you know the interesting part? It's not, you're not winding yourself. When you utter God's word, you know what happens? There is a spirit of faith that is poured inside into your heart. No, I'm serious what I'm going to say. That you hear something, and suddenly because you see, when that man prayed, help my unbelief, is not a joke. Go and read that, our Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. He said, let us draw near to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. If you go and read it in context, he was talking about being able to hold fast in faith in the face of difficult situations. So when you just pray, God, look at things happening. My heart will trust in you. Help me to believe in you at all times and to trust with confidence in your protection. What God does, he just takes a bowl into the bowl of faith, into the pitcher of faith, whatever. Takes a scoop of it and pours into your spirit. Suddenly when you rise up, you are very confident. Where you couldn't go before, let us go. So what is it? They don't know. You just drank. It's like alcohol. You just drank. It makes you misbehave. You know what we discussed last time? They don't know that's what happened. You just drank something. You know, we started this by trying to explain that there are different kinds of communication, spirits and the natural man. Uh-huh. The natural man is a man who has downplayed, all right, as a result of his learning and his iniquity, the impact, all right, of spiritual communications. Everything must be as is written on the surface. A man was going to come to Africa, you know, from Europe. They warned him that those people are very superstitious. You know what they mean by superstitious? We go to church and we pray. Do you understand? That's what they call superstition. Something wants to happen, you bow down your head and you pray. Say, the man is superstitious. That's a vintage natural man. The Bible says he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. That is why I don't argue with people who want to make a mockery. Do you get my point? No, God has given me that grace. I don't argue with people. You want to make a mockery of things of faith? Why should I talk with you? I give you statements as a matter of fact, if you like. Like Fela, you know, Fela says some very deep truths. He said, whether you like, you don't, or you not like. All right? He said, if you like, it's good. If you not like, you hang. That's my principle. If I speak, if you don't like it, go and buy a rope, throw it, hang yourself. And according to Fela, if you hang, you will die. And you will die for nothing. He said, on top of that, we'll carry your body to police and say you die wrongfully, wrongful death. No. No, believe me, that's the principle. That's the principle. One of my classmates then, I wrote in one of my books, he told me that I saw me reading the Bible or something. He said, you believe that God created you? I said, yes. He said, listen, my friend, your father married your mother and they gave birth to you. I said, is that so? So you believe your mother gave birth to you? I said, how did you know? Were you there? I said, you were not there. They told you that this is your mother. You were small, of course. Physically, your body was there, but did you have the mind to be present? I said, listen, my friend, you and I are as foolish as one another. You believe what you are told. Me, I was told that God created me. I believe it also. Yes, it's a matter of fact. I said, listen, you believe what you were told. No, be so. Me too, I believe what I was told. What's his name? This guy. Aldo Bishamak. He said, one day a man came to him and said, no, preacher, you want to tell me that you believe that a fish swallowed Jonah? According to us, the Russian back, he turned to the man. He said, brother, I believe it because the Bible says so. And if the Bible said that Jonah was the one that swallowed the whale, I will believe it too. Now, what I'm trying to say is that the Bible says that natural man cannot. It's not that he does not. He doesn't have the ability. It is not within him to receive the things of the Spirit because faith, oh my God, how do I explain this? There is something about intuition with faith. You believe and you don't even know yourself why you believe. Do you get my point? There is something inside you, something I will sit down. All right? I consider some of the things I say publicly and boldly and ask myself, Banky, how do you know these things? If I turn to myself, you know, I really don't know. I tell my wife, I said, God has caused my heart to believe. I said something to us about 2 Saturdays ago, that we are playing a role in a play that God wrote before we were born. Are you getting my point? And listen, my part in life, where God has fitted me, is that I am a man of faith. Do you get my point? Once you reach out to God, say, you want to work with me, say, yes, then you have to believe this thing. Now, when I say believe, not struggle to believe. It takes faith and pours it into you. Say, walk. That's, you are walking in faith. When I wrote that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, okay? When I wrote that, what happened was, in my heart, I suddenly understood how great faith comes. That's not by struggling. It's not even that I have read so much Bible. A lot of people who read the Bible read it professionally. Remember, professionally. Yes, just read it and it's a book. Like you read William Shakespeare. There are those who are Shakespeareans, you know what I mean? They just read Shakespeare. They know Shakespeare inside out. All the acts and the scenes. They know everything. Who said what, in which book. Some people, that's how they read the Bible. You understand the principle? Uh-huh. So it's not just that. It's that you have a heart that reaches out to God. Are you getting my point? And because of that, all right, God helps you because you need the help of God in everything. That's a matter of fact. How did Cornelius believe? God looked at all his labors and said, this is a good man. Hey, you, help him believe. If an angel appears to you, you say, if you go believe. Do you understand my point? Yeah, it was God that helped him believe. An angel appeared, said, call Peter. And Peter too came speaking plenty of revelations that happened also. When the angel was talking, another angel was talking there. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then as Peter began to preach, the Holy Spirit was poured upon the whole household. Oh boy, if you don't believe after that, devil must be your personal friend. You get what I'm saying? So God helps people, all right? So I'm saying something that there's a spiritual communication. God pours things in through the Spirit. But when a man has deadened his heart completely, the Bible calls him a natural man, and he's unable. Your arguments don't make sense. He cannot believe. He cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He said the reason is because they are foolishness to him. He cannot. That's the word he said. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. There is an intuition. That's how Derek Prince explains this, that there is an intuition. There's an intuitive part of it which God only can help you with. Are you getting me? So that's a natural man. What is a carnal man? Before we describe who a carnal man or a fleshly man is, we have to understand that the Christian is not supposed to be a natural man. What is he supposed to be? A spiritual man. What is a spiritual man? When Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he became natural. That is, all this information, the emphasis was now on what we can experiment, what we can experience, not that which is thrown into our hearts by God. Do you understand? So the opposite would have been, if he had eaten of the tree of life, he would have discovered the understanding of God flowing into him. Of course, experience will help him understand, but the basic thing is that God will be teaching him his ways. Let me explain something. I said something the other day about how Solomon became such a wise man. Solomon did not become wise, all right, because he learned the principles of wisdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was because he asked God for wisdom. And you know, the interesting part, my experience in life has taught me that this is how it used to work. Solomon did not even know how he was going to judge before the case came. Do you follow what I mean? The wisdom is inside him. Then when a case will come, then he will judge correctly. It's just inside him. Once you bring up the matter, wisdom just comes out and solves the issue. That is, there is a flow between the Spirit of God, all right, and Solomon's spirit that just helps him receive what God is passing to him. Do you follow the point I'm making? All right. Now, so a spiritual man has a communication with the realm of the Spirit, which is what is supposed to be for the life of every believer. Now, let me just say this briefly. You will see that for most people, okay, there is a balance. What I mean by balance is that there's like a battle. There's being carnally minded and then being spiritually minded. A Christian kind of waves, you know, amongst the two. The natural man is permanently, does not wave. Is all time two-wheel drive. You know somebody all time maybe now front-wheel drive. But then the spiritual man, you know, is supposed to be all time four-wheel drive. You know what I mean? Just there. But there are those that are sometimes four wheels, sometimes two wheels, sometimes four wheels. Now, Paul said it like this. A carnal man, all right, is the Christian who is supposed to be spiritual, but he's behaving like a natural man. He's not a natural man. He has believed in Christ Jesus. His spirit is alive and is communicating with the realm of the spirit. But you look at him, you see most of his decisions, most of his life is explained by the natural side. Are you getting my point? You know, I was sharing with my wife the other day. I said, you see, something led to it, and I just brought up an issue. There are issues in life. You know what they call pride? Before I talk about pride, look at what Paul was saying there. He said, how do I know that you are still carnal? He said, there are divisions amongst you. One man is, you know, that's why I'm bringing up the issue of pride. Either he feels superior to the other person, okay? He feels he knows something the other person doesn't know. He thinks he's better than other people, you know? So, I am of Paul. I'm of Harvard. You know what I'm saying? My MBA is Harvard. Yours, your own. You don't get MBA from that side, you know? There's division because of a wrong perception of self. That's what I'm trying to explain. James will tell you that what have you that you did not receive? Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, you discover that a man that has real understanding can never be proud. That's what I'm trying to explain. That is, if I have something, it is because God gave it to me. You know? That is, and when I say God gave it to me, it's not as if it is not mine, I'm better than other people. It's like God said, hold it for me. Do you follow my point? You remember the story of the elephant and the rat? They were good friends. The mouse and the elephant. And the mouse used to sit on the ear of the elephant, and they'll be talking to each other, they'll be whispering in the ears. Then one day they had to cross the bridge, and the elephant would take a step, you know, the whole bridge would shake. When they got to the other side, the mouse looked back and said, now, wow, we shook that bridge, man. We shook the bridge.
that it, we shook the bridge, of course. The elephant doesn't have to start arguing about who shook the bridge and who did not shake the bridge. You're hanging them near my earlobe and talking and say, we shook the bridge. A good man, you know what I mean, understands that it's a matter of we shook the bridge. It's God that's shaking the bridge, but we're riding with him, so we shook the bridge. So really, the guy can't brag anywhere else that I'm the one that did this or I'm better than other people. I'm bringing out something. That you see that good understanding, because that's something. When you understand the way things work in the realm of the spirit, then pride is knocked out of your life. Even covetousness. For example, a lot of people who are covetous, the problem is that they are afraid. You know, when you see people misbehave, I told you before, there's what the Bible calls root and there's fruit. It tells you about the root of bitterness springing up, you know, defiling. Do you understand my point? You said the fruit of the spirit is, that is, when you find a fruit, there is something you can't see. When you see a man misbehaving, he's aggressive, he's covetous, he's a rogue, he lies, he cheats, he tries to get from everybody. You say, oh boy, stealing is bad. He knows. Don't take what is not your own. He knows that he should not. Do you get what I'm trying to say? He said, look, lying doesn't help you. The fellow knows. What you have not seen is that he is afraid of tomorrow. Do you get what I'm trying to say? All these behaviors outside is because of what? Fear of tomorrow. You are trying to counsel him. You don't understand that this, you know, in the way I like to say that when an adult, 2 + 2 = 4. He said, no, it's 5. He said, please let me explain. 1, 2, you know, put it aside. Another 1, 2. Let's count it together. 1, 2, 3, 4. He says 5. No, ask my wife. I practice that now. There's no point arguing. You know the fact? He has hidden 1 somewhere in his pocket. And he's not telling you about it. He doesn't want to disclose it. He said, look at it. Now, this is the best way to do this thing. He said, no. Let's look at it another way. The fact is that there is something he's considering that you don't know. The man who's bustling, he's not. He said, look, sleep, take it easy, stop lying, stop cheating. Oh boy, he has considered. This was how my father used to relax those days. And he became poor. I know how we struggled as young men. No, my children must not suffer like that. You see, you don't know what's driving different people. When I'm talking to my students, I jokingly tell them, but it's a matter of fact. I said, you see, Tony Braxton, dress, come out almost naked. Say, they are doing Grammy Awards. And say, you now go out tomorrow and go and copy Toni Braxton. You don't understand that she's depressed. She's begging for approval. You that you are happy and you have the joy of the Holy Ghost. You are following a confused person. No, it's true. You don't know. You see one man just come out. The gold on his chest, you know. It's like the shield of Goliath. You know what I'm saying? And you think, yeah, man, the guy is... No, all his life, police have always been beating him. Do you get my point? If he comes out, they check him, whether he's carrying drugs. He's a black man in LA. Do you follow the point I'm making? Finally, he became rich. Ha! So he decided to use the annual salary of a police officer in that same LA to buy gold, to show the policeman that look at the... And you sit down, JJ, nobody has ever harassed you. Do you follow me? Nobody's disturbing you. You have no problem with anybody. You now start saving all your money to look like Snoop Doggy Dog. You don't know what I'm telling you. You don't know what pursuing each person. Look, this life. You'll be copying. You could just look. You look at Michael Jackson. Does he look happy to you? You see a confused man. What do you want to look like? You know the person I like most in life? You don't know the person. I like Banky, Pastor Banky. I love that fellow. I dress like Pastor Banky. I talk like Pastor Banky. you know what I'm saying? Yes, I just like me. I like me. I'm okay. My wife likes me, so is your problem if your own wife does not like me? May your wife like you. Yes. It's true. I'm not going out to dress up so that one young woman outside will like me. No, the person that needs to like me is at home. Do you follow the point I'm making? One day, I made a joke with my mom one day. She said she didn't. Then we used to go to the gym, bodybuild, carry weights and stuff. Then we used to use bulwarker and blocks and stuff. No, we didn't go to a proper gym. We just had our own small gym. So one day I came home. And my mother saw this guy. What's going on? Then I'll go and play one of my friend's house. You know, we had different bulwarkers, different springs. So one day she sat me down and said, Kole, I want to talk to you. I said, Mom, what is it? Say, this is your muscle building thing. I don't like it. I said, is that why we are sitting down here?
to talk, you know, man to woman, you know what I mean? Mother to son. He said, I don't like it. I said, you don't like it? So? Mommy, please, am I your husband? I said, Mommy, if my father bodybuilds, go and tell him you don't like it. As for me, it doesn't concern you at all. I said, when I get back to school, then I was on campus. I said, if the sisters in my fellowship say they don't like it, I might consider stopping, sha. I told her, I said, but Mommy, let's look at it now. You have your own husband. I'm going to be somebody else's husband. Why are you concerned about what I look like? That's it, though. Yes, you know. What am I trying to explain? That you see, sometimes people are copying people. You don't know what's driving a man inside him. Now, back to where I started from. I think, look, so when you look at pride, a man misbehaving, that's what the Bible calls fruit. 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 Not the root. The root. Do you get my point? The root is a different matter. A man who's misbehaving, you may find that inside him, the root is rejection. Nobody loves him. The root is that he's afraid of tomorrow. A spiritual man, God communicates understanding to him. And he says that your bread will never fail and your water will be sure. Do you get my point? He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. The man looks and knows that no matter what I lay up on this earth, it can vanish in a second. So the point I'm making is this. You find out that so spiritual communications, all right, actually cures the outward bad character in people. Do you understand what I'm going to say? So it says that who is a carnal man? The carnal man is a man who is not receiving information spiritually, though he's supposed to because he's of faith in Christ Jesus, because he has given his life to Christ, he's supposed to be a child of God. You understand the point? But he's getting his information from another side. You understand the principle? He's getting his information from the flesh. Paul says, this guy is still of the flesh. He's carnal. He's not a natural man because he has believed. A real natural man cannot believe. If he has believed, then he's supposed to be a spiritual man, but he's still behaving like a carnal man. Are you getting my point? And I use all this story to explain that you see all the divisions, all right, amongst them. A man may be divided, you know, for networking purposes. You know, by networking purposes. You know, if you're in this man's camp, that's where the deal is flowing from. But when you are giving him understanding that he knows simply that what is mine is mine. It is my own. It can't go anywhere. Nobody, wherever I am, it will come to me. You know, he's not so bothered about whether I'm in somebody's camp or I'm not. Are you getting my point? So Paul said, the proof I have that you are still walking as mere men is that I have found out that you are divided. From next time, I will explain what he meant. We'll talk about the power of grace a bit. No, he said, what then is Apollos, verse 5? What is Paul? He says, servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Or God was giving the increase. I like that expression in King James. He says, so then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Now from verse 10, he now begins to talk about those who are the workers in God's field. And I will develop that one beginning from next time. Is that all right? We'll continue from there next time.